Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 15th day of September. I'm Paul White. I want to thank you for joining me here at the middle of the week. And I told you yesterday that we were going to try and get into some of the things that the blood of Jesus speaks that is superior to the blood of Abel, because that is a passage from the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start to kind of work our way into that, but technically, I would be moving out of order, and I'm not opposed to moving out of chronological order in our text, but I think I want to stay with the ordering of the way the conversation transpires between God and Cain. Cain has just killed his brother Abel, and then in the ninth verse of Genesis 4, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" And we have some interesting things happening here. And the reason I said I'd have to move out of order to talk about the blood of Abel is because God's response to this is in regards to the blood of Abel. So rather than jumping all the way to God's response, let's deal with the questions. Let's deal with the way Cain answers it, because really, and I don't want to be overly dramatic here, and I don't want to oversell this, but I really do feel this way. I really do feel that the theme of brotherhood and what the Bible tries to tell us about love gets its legs right here in this conversation. God has not told mankind to this point that he has to love anyone, and he's not going to say anything right here about love. He hasn't really made it look as if people are responsible for each other, although the Adam and Eve story screams pretty loudly that Adam is at least somewhat responsible for Eve since she's pulled from his side, and the fact that neither of them take care of the other one in that Garden of Eden incident, although you can make a pretty stout argument, and I try to, that Adam, by eating from the fruit, is bringing himself down to the place Eve is so that she doesn't have to go through this alone. But that's sort of caring for someone after the fact. There's no personal responsibility on the part of Adam or Eve, it seems like, to take care of each other. And there's certainly no personal responsibility on the part of Cain and Abel to take care of each other. We don't see Abel coming to Cain and going, "Hey, brother, your sacrifice wasn't accepted. Maybe you should try this." But then again, it's not as if it's not as if that's what we're meant to take away from the story. Okay, I'm making some arguments from inference there, rather than what the text tells us. This is the moment, however, that we learn that we are responsible for our brother, or at least this is the moment where we realize what happens when we're not responsible for our brother. Probably the best way to say it is we don't figure out until the law starts to be put together in the Torah that our neighbor is important and that we're supposed to take care of them. We don't really even understand the fullness of what that looks like until we see Jesus. And Jesus starts to define our neighbor, define who we are to love. And it's not who we want it to be. And then as we proceed through the epistles, we start to see that message repeated again and again, all the way up to, and we've been doing this on our Tuesday Bible study, all the way into 1 John, where the author is adamant about loving the neighbor. Well, where is he getting this? Where does he get this idea of love? Interestingly, when John lays out the case that we are to be loving, he doesn't go into the Old Testament and use an analogy like, "Hey, so-and-so loved, so that teaches you how to love." He does reach back into Jesus and say, "Here's love, that he would lay down his life for us. This is what love looks like." But he does give an analogy of hate. He doesn't give an analogy of love that doesn't include the cross, but he does give an analogy of hate that includes a biblical character. And what biblical character is it that John uses in 1 John chapter 3 to describe hatred? It's Cain. So our Cain and Abel story does continue to teach us things long after it's written down. And so when John wants to describe to his audience what it would look like to not love one another, he says, this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. That's 1 John 3, 11 and 12. The message we heard from the beginning is that we should love one another, not like Cain, who killed his brother. So that tells me that the message from the beginning is not simply John's way of saying, oh, we heard Jesus say this. No, it's John's way of saying, our entire scripture has been telling us we're supposed to love our brother. Now, let's actually plug in that idea into the Cain story and listen to God talk to Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And according to 1 John chapter 3, the answer to this question is yes, you are. Because the way the New Testament interprets love is that from the beginning, we've been told to love our brother, not like Cain, who killed his. So the message from the beginning is this message, that God is speaking to Cain. And Cain's question to God is a question we should all answer. The question is, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, of course you are. That's the command from the beginning. My brother's keeper does not mean I rule my brother, I tell my brother how to live, I tell my brother what's up, I judge my brother incessantly, I hound my brother, I stay on his back, I peek over his shoulder. No, it means I don't kill him. It means I care for him enough to take care of him, not to lure him out into a field and kill him. And this is in a literal sense, yes, but in a metaphoric sense, a figurative sense, my role and my responsibility, your role, your responsibility is very Cain-like. And it may not be well defined on what love looks like, but it is pretty well defined on what it doesn't. And so the Genesis story doesn't tell us what love would look like between Cain and Abel, but it sure does tell us what the lack of love looks like. And the lack of love will take the life right out of the people around you that you're supposed to love. So the answer to the question, am I my brother's keeper, is yes. You are your brother's keeper, and you need to know it, and you need to live like it. You're not your brother's ruler, but there's a part of this relationship that is essential. There's more that I want to say about this, because I think Paul takes that mentality and he uses it for Christian instruction. And we want to do that with him tomorrow from the Corinthian letter. We'll see you then. God bless.